Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, we continue with a series called How the Church Meets Your Deepest Needs. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shares the benefits of being part of a church family. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the Purpose-Driven Life Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate, a hardcover book that will help the student in your life with the decisions they will face both before and after graduation. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called How Worshiping with Others Changes You.
2 Chronicles chapter 31. Look at this verse. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 21. Love this God's word paraphrase. Hezekiah dedicated his life to serving God. That's what the Bible says. Everything he did in worship in God's temple. See, this is corporate worship. Everything he did in worship in God's temple, he did wholeheartedly. And now notice this phrase. Oh, by the way, as a result, it says, he was very successful and he prospered. Hezekiah had one of those successful and prosperous reigns as a leader of Israel. And why did God prosper him? Why did God give Hezekiah such amazing success? Because he worshiped God wholeheartedly. You know, God hates the exact opposite of wholehearted worship. He hates insincere worship. He hates heartless worship, fake worship, worship with your mouth, but not with your heart and your mind and your soul. You got to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Let me give you an example of the kind of worship God says, you might as well just forget it and don't even check in. Isaiah 29, verse 13, God says this, "These people say they are mine." Now, let me stop there. God is saying, these people claim to be my children. They claim to be in my family. They claim to be my followers. They're believers. He says, these people say they are mine, but they honor me only with their lips. Their hearts are far away from me. See, that's heartless worship. He said, they're not worshiping me with their heart. They're worshiping me with their lips. It's just lip service. And he says, their worship of me amounts to nothing more than human traditions that they have memorized and they say by rote. Oh my, have you ever been in a service like that where everything was memorized and said by rote and nobody's actually feeling it or saying it? They're saying it because they memorized a tradition and they go to worship week after week and they say the same prayers over and over and over and they say the same rituals and the same liturgy over and over and over. And he says they've memorized it and they say it by rote. He goes, they're not even thinking about it. Their mouth is in gear, but their mind and their heart are not engaged. God says, don't even bother. I don't want that kind of worship. I don't want memorized worship by rote that's just from the mouth but not from the heart. What kind of worship does God want? Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, true worshipers, circle that, true worshipers. You want to be a real worshiper. You want to be an authentic worshiper. You want to be the kind of worshiper that Hezekiah was, that God could bless with success. Jesus says true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Now, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, first, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about, that's a small s, that's your spirit. He says you need this, when you worship God, it needs to be authentic and it needs to be accurate. Authentic in spirit and in truth, accurate. It needs to be doctrinal and it needs to be devotional. It needs to be real and it needs to be passionate. In truth, it's got to be authentic based on God's word, and in spirit, it's got to be from the heart. It's got to be heartfelt worship. Now, I want to say something to you right now that may shock you. But I know that because we now have podcasts and we now have services online, there are many, many thousands of people watching this service online right now. Well, that's better than nothing, okay? It's better than nothing. But I want you to write this down, and then I want to explain what the antidote is to it. Write this down. This is very important. Watching worship is not worship. Watching worship, watching other people worship, is not worship. You see, God says, I want you to come to the house of worship. I want you to come to my temple. I want you to gather together. I want you to do the 58 one another's of the Bible together. Watching worship from your iPhone or your iPad or from television or from the internet, that's better than nothing, but it's not worship. Why? Well, in the first place, you're probably multitasking. A lot of times you'll turn on a podcast and you're washing dishes or you're working in the garage or you're studying or you're, you know, picking up clothes or vacuuming. You might be ironing or whatever, and you're multitasking. Worship demands your total focus. And so it's real easy to check in and out. Well, click, I'll watch worship for 15 minutes, click out. That wasn't worship. You watched a worship service, but you didn't worship because you didn't enter in with other people in the prayers and in the giving and in the silence and in the confession and in the committing and in all the other elements of worship. So when you're sick, obviously, tune into a worship service. When you're on the road and you can't be in your local church, do that. But you need a regular place of worship. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. All over the world, that people gather in small groups. I know a group in Singapore has 60, 70 people that meet in a house, and they don't just watch the Saddleback service. They worship together. You can start a house church. You can start it in a building, in a home, in an apartment somewhere, and actually where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm in the midst of them. So stop watching worship and thinking you're worshiping. You know, actually getting up, getting dressed, you know, getting clean, washing your hair, brushing your teeth, putting on some clothes, and going to a place of worship, that is an actual act of worship too. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. How long has it been since you've been in a house of the Lord? You say, well, I go once a month or once every 5 or 6 weeks. God wants you to worship him on the first day of every week. So worship, watching worship is not worship. Now, how do I worship? I want to give you some tips here. I want to talk about how do you tell God that you love him? And I want to give you 7 different very practical acts of worship. So write these down. But not only are we just going to write them down, we're going to do them. And in each of these, we're going to pause and usually ask you to actually do what I just talked about. Now, the one that we're starting with is what we're doing right now. The first way you can worship, write this down, is by listening and responding to God's word. By listening and responding to God's word. I'm teaching you from God's word. What you're doing right now is an act of worship. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, in the New Century Version, it says, gather all the people together, men, women, children, and the immigrants living in your towns. He's talking about visitors, people who are not citizens here. Gather all the people together, men, women, children, and immigrants living in your towns, so that everyone can listen and learn. So to respect the Lord and carefully obey everything in his word. Notice he says, this is something we do together. We worship together. We're to gather together. We're to get up and go to a place of worship. Are you doing that every week? That's what God wants you to do. Psalm 85, verse 8 says this, I listen carefully to what God, my Lord, is saying, for he speaks peace to his people and his faithful ones. Now, notice he says, I listen carefully to what God says. How do you listen carefully? Well, one of the ways you do is what you're doing right now. Take notes. The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And one of the reasons why we pass out notes and let people see the notes that they can take notes on is so you can listen carefully. Did you know that you forget about 95% of everything you hear within about 72 hours? That's the United States Air Force statistic. And that's a depressing statistic if you're a pastor. It means that I could spend all week preparing to teach you, and then by Wednesday, you've forgotten 95% of it. You could have been a member of Saddleback Church for 30 years, and you've forgotten 95%. You've forgotten all but 5% of everything I've ever taught, unless you wrote it down. But if you write it down, you can go back and review it. When we teach the Purpose Driven Church Conference to pastors, and over 500,000 pastors have taken this from 164 countries, I give them 15 reasons that they should never teach without actually handing out an outline. In the first place, everybody uses different translations. And so when you look on an outline, everybody can read from the same translation. In the second place, writing it down increases your memory and your retention. Third, you can go later, go back and review it. I won't go into all of these reasons. I know guys who've, you know, wadded up the sermon notes and put them in their wallet and pulled them out later when they need it. You can put it up on the wall. You can underline, you can circle, you can take notes. So all of these are just to help you to listen carefully to what God says, for he speaks peace to his people.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Do you know someone who is graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
I know guys who've, you know, wadded up the sermon notes and put them in their wallet and pulled them out later when they need it. You can put it up on the wall. You can underline, you can circle, you can take notes. So all of these are just to help you to listen carefully to what God says, for he speaks peace to his people. But it's not enough to just take notes. If you're really going to worship, you have to do what he says. The Bible talks about being doers of the word, not hearers only. In John 13, verse 17, Jesus says this, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if," notice, "you do them." He didn't say you'll be blessed if you know them. He doesn't even say you'll be blessed if you take notes on them. He says, "Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." So taking notes is a part of worship. Why? Because it helps me to have my to-do list after worship is over. All right? So the first way that you can express your love to God is by actually listening carefully to the Word of God, and you care enough to take notes. I'll never forget one time I read the verse where Jesus says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." And as I was reading that verse, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Rick, who do you think the swine is?" And I said, well, that's got to be the religious Pharisees who, you know, were attacking Jesus all the time. He said, no, you're the swine. I said, what? What, me? Why? He said, because you don't care enough to write down what I say to you. And the word of God are the pearls of wisdom that come out of the word of God. And God is casting these pearls at you, but you're just letting them fall away. You're not writing them down. You're not connecting them. You're not collecting them. You're not reviewing them. You're not applying them. You're not practicing them. So I'm casting pearls before swine. So learn to listen carefully. That's an act of worship. Take notes and write yourself to-do lists of things you're going to do as a result of what you learn from the Word of God. All right? Let's go to a second way to worship. This is one we all know about. I can worship God. I can show my love to God by singing to Him. By singing to Him. When we sing to Him with our whole hearts, and it's not half-hearted singing. It's singing with our whole hearts. Remember, God loves wholehearted worship. Psalm 32, verse 11. I love this in the Message. It says this, celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All of you with honest hearts. All of you, raise the roof. I love that. Raise the roof. Worship is meant to be a celebration, not a commiseration. It's meant to be a festival of joy, not a funeral of sadness. He says, sing together. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not I was mad or sad or bored or, oh, brother. It's not a duty. It's a delight. Celebrate God. Sing together. All this week in our daily devotionals, I'm going to give you some ways to celebrate God on your own. But it's really important for you to learn to celebrate with other people. I have a counselor friend, a therapist, who everyone who comes to him who's depressed, one of the first questions he asks is, did you sing all the songs last Sunday at church? And they said, no. Well, he says, impression without expression leads to depression. And you need, for your emotional health, you need to sing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in a baggie. I'm a prison singer. I'm always behind a few bars and I never have the right key. Well, you know what? The Bible says make a joyful noise. Anybody can do that. And so you don't have to be on key. You just have to sing with your heart. And you know what? Would you rather sing by yourself or would you rather sing with 100 people or 300 people or 1,000 people? The Bible says we sing together, and that is an act of worship. Did you know that music and love go together? Because music is God's gift for expressing emotions. And all of the emotions that are known to man can be expressed through music. You know, there are radio stations that are dedicated entirely to just love songs because they are a way of expressing emotion. Now, I know some people come to church late because they go, I just want to hear the message. And they want to come in the music. They don't worry about getting there. You are making a big mistake. And it is detrimental to your spiritual health, to your soul, to your spirit, and to your emotional health as well. You need to sing these songs. You're cheating yourself. You're missing out on an important moment of worship if you don't sing along the song. So learn to sing the songs. Praise is a mood lifter. It's an antidote, as I said, to depression. Now, let's go to a third way that we worship God. A third way we worship God is by talking to God together in prayer. By talking to God together in prayer. Now, of course, you could pray on your own anytime, but you know there's added power when we pray together. The Bible says, when two or three agree as to anything, it shall be done. There's additional prayer power when we pray together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. You know, we would have the power of the New Testament church, like they had in Acts. We'd see those kind of miracles if we prayed as much as they did in the book of Acts. Paul talks about the importance of prayer in corporate worship in Romans chapter 1, verses 12. He says this, we must help each other with the faith we have, and your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. So when we pray together, and we're all praying for the same thing, that builds my faith, it builds your faith. You don't get that when you pray on your own. There's an additional element of prayer power that happens when you pray with other people. And that's why prayer, together is a part of worship. You know, one of the things I've learned about a relationship, whether it's friendship or in marriage, I've been married now over 42 years, is that if you're going to build a relationship, you've got to communicate. On the days that Kay and I communicate with each other through the day, our relationship grows. On the days that I don't get to talk to her through the day, it decays. The same is true with God. If you want to build a friendship with God, you got to talk to him all the time. Of course, you can talk to him all the time, but if you never talk to your spouse or they never talk to you, you start doubting that they loved you. And if you really love God, you're going to talk to him all the time. What do you talk to God about? Well, whatever is interesting to you. You can talk to God about your hopes, about your dreams, about your fears, about your hurts. You can talk to God about the conflicts. You can talk about how your stomach feels. You can talk to him about things that you feel are not fair. There's nothing off limits in a love relationship with God. He wants to hear everything that is a concern to you. He doesn't want to hear what you think you ought to talk about. He wants to hear what's really concerning you. Prayer is not a duty. It is a privilege. And if you don't feel close to God, there's a simple remedy. Talk to him more, okay? Talk to him more. Prayer is an act of worship. But particularly when we pray together, there's power in group prayer. And so pray in your small group and pray in your Bible studies and pray when you're at a church worship service together.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. You can get hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick delivered to your inbox every day when you go to PastorRick.com and sign up for his free daily devotional. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery. This unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can call 800-600-5004 or just visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I tell you all the time that I love getting mail from you, either directly or by email. And when I hear from listeners, it just makes my day. Here's a note I got from Megan, who actually listens in South Africa. She said, "Pastor Rick, I listen to your messages on Daily Hope, and I feel that God is speaking directly to me. After your Daily Hope series about the importance of community in spiritual growth, I started going to church, and I joined a Bible study group." Wow, Megan, I can't tell you how happy I am about that. I am so glad that you applied this lesson. You just didn't hear the word. You did something about it. You found a church. And you know what? It's kind of like going to a doctor or a restaurant or anything else. If you don't like the first one, just keep going until you find one and say, "This will be my spiritual home." For those of you listening today, I just want to say you need a church family. It is absolutely essential to your growth. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. So get involved in a church today.
Just like Rick said, it's so important that you have a home church. That's why he developed a free tool called How to Find a Good Church. And you can get it by going to PastorRick.com right now. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.